Hey, everybody, and welcome. Thanks for coming today. We got a little something special for you here today. I'm going to start off by introducing myself. My name is Jason. I produce the shows for the VR Chat channel. I'm also a disabled gamer, so I do a lot of testing for developers out there and for upper and lower mobility issues. I actually have a team here that works to create different sets where we do interviews for shows in here. Next to me today, we have some special guests, some of the VR OGs. We have Chris Haney from Space Pirate Trainer and Nathy, as I'm sure you all know from YouTube. What we're going to do here today is basically they're going to talk a little about themselves and what they do. And once we get done with that, we are going to open the floor for questions. When we do, Noctato over here that you don't see right now will be coming around to those questions. We'll be taking them from there, and we'll be taking them from the Rec Room YouTube as well. We're going to do our best to get everything we can in there. So let's go ahead and get this started. Chris, did you want to start off? Just give them a little...
do I want to start off?
Well, chair, whatever you want to talk about.
Firstly, thank you everyone for inviting us to RecCon. It's just really exciting to be here. This is my first RecCon. I'm super stoked to be here on a Saturday night, talking to two of my favorite people in the VR industry. So thank you very much for inviting us. And Nathan, Nathaniel, thank you for being next to me on this lovely red couch. it's super normal. Cool. It's been a couple of weeks since I've seen you, and it's been a couple of years, Jason, since I've spoken to you. It's been a long time between chats, especially here in Rec Room. But great to be here. So thank you for inviting us. You want me to talk about myself?
Sure.
Is that what you want?
Yeah, I think whatever you wish.
Oh,
you
God.
Want space bread chair?
Favorite colors?
You want that shredded?
I was born on a beautiful Tuesday morning in Australia a long time ago. Space Pirate Trainer DX, we're super excited. Was just launched on the Oculus Quest. It's an update for Space Pirate Trainer. Includes what we're super excited about, which is the arena mode that we've been working on since before all this. We've been working on arena mode since 2017, and we are so excited to finally actually ship this thing, because there was a chance that it might not come out, but now it is available and it's on everyone's Quest. That was a free update for anyone who'd bought Space Pirate Trainer in the past, and we're just stoked from the feedback we've had. Nathy came and played it in our studio just before the world collapsed. I mean, was it February last year? And then at that time we thought, we're going to release in 2020. It's going to be fantastic. And then everyone knows what happened last year. It was not a good year for literally anything. And then we're finally at a point now where it's safe to go outside to tennis courts and basketball courts and gymnasiums and start experimenting with weird scale VR. And we are super pumped that it's now available, and people are really and really enjoying it and giving us some great feedback. And so we can't wait to just do more crazy stuff with stupid scale VR.
Love the description.
We want to get outside. The reason why we made Space Pirate Trainer in the first place was we were just overwhelmed with the capacity of room scale. It literally changed everything for our team. I remember Dirk Van Welden, the project lead for Space Pirate Trainer and DX, saying to me, this thing, just put this thing on your head. And he gave me the first prototype of the Vive. And it was so overwhelming to be able to walk around this very blank canvas, just be able to see even a block in room scale. But to be able to walk around it and run around it, to take that tech like we have now with the Quest, which is maximum 10 by 10 meters or 32 by 32 feet, it is so cool losing yourself in that massive space, which is what you can do in a tennis court and a basketball court. You can't do it at home. Definitely, I'm currently now talking to you from my basement in Belgium, which is probably just enough room for standing only. Take it outside, go to a nice basketball court, tennis court. It is so much fun to run around. Even playing games like Beat Saber in large spaces is super cool, because you can just experience a game the way that the designers didn't intend. And so we've had a lot of fun playing games in large-scale VR on tennis courts. And I can't wait to hear more people try it.
Yeah, it's been received pretty well out there. I know a lot of people are mad they don't have the space in their house, but you guys have innovated and changed the game.
We don't have the space in our house either. part of 2020, part of the fallout of us not being able to release the beta of Arena was we ended up making a multiplayer version of Space Pirate Trainer, purely because that was a game that we could play in our house. So we added multiplayer Space Pirate Trainer as part of this DX update, mostly so that we as a team could collaborate together. And so we'd fire up Space Pirate Trainer, have our team meeting Space Pirate Trainer, shoot some droids together, and then have a chit-chat afterwards. And so that is now available also as part of DX, the versus mode, we call it. But that was primarily built so that we could have a team meeting in Space Pirate Trainer.
That's awesome. Innovating again. Love it.
We used to do our team meetings in PUBG. That was a big deal for us in 2017 and 2018. And then to actually be able to build our own multiplayer experience to do team meetings was also pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely interesting place, I would say. PUBG is a tough one.
PUBG is great because it gives you, you've got this limited time to do the meeting. And so what we'd do is we'd find this a house somewhere in the map. And we'd say, okay, well, we're going to meet in that house. And so we'd go in there, and eventually after 5 minutes, you had to finish your meeting because the blue square would get smaller and smaller and everyone would die. And so that was a good way to just summarize. There's all that talk of standing meetings and stuff, the agile meetings. But our agile meetings was literally, you're going to die in 5 minutes, so hurry up.
Yeah, I guess so. You get to I recommend point, right?
that. Yeah, PUBG is a really good meeting.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about it that way. Yeah, I mean, we help. You don't have to shoot anything. Just for meetings in here, but yeah.
Yeah, you need to I shoot anyone. You just need to go inside a house and then just wait to die, and that's the end of the meeting. Wow.
Well, you're trying to make a point across at the same time.
Yeah. No, you don't have any meeting. More time.
I like it.
Yep.
Great.
It's a meeting with
so you also recommend corporate meetings in Space Pirate Arena?
Definitely 100%. I mean, at the moment Space Pirate Arena is a two-player experience. We hope to ship more players in the future as spaces get bigger, but yeah, it is definitely an ideal 1-1 meeting space. It's a very fun meeting space, but yeah, we hope to make it bigger. We get requests all the time. Can we have 10 players in our room? But 10 meters by 10 meters or 32 by 2 feet, it's not ideal for running around in a conference space. You need to have 2 players. 10 players in there, it's weird. So I don't know how many people are here tonight, but having all of us in the same physical space might get a bit cramped.
True. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah, I don't know how many rooms we have going here. I think we had 1,800 or so people sign up. So there's probably
oh my goodness.
About 200 plus rooms going on right now. So this is interesting.
Oh my goodness.
I know this is the first time they've done that here in Rec Room. So this is pretty interesting to even be part of this right now. But yeah, that's great. Meeting in spaces like that, that's awesome. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about or... Maybe a little more.
No, I'm not actually here with any reason to talk about anything other than Space Pirate Arena is out. Space Pirate Arena DS is part of how you get that. It's on Quest. And we're super pumped to hear from the community about what they think. We've had some great feedback already in our reviews, people loving it. We've had a couple of people who have, appropriately complained that it's not an easy game to play because they don't have a 10x10 space at home, which... No one has 10x10 at home. If they do have 10x10, then I want to visit them because the house is amazing. But most of the feedback we've had has been pretty supportive, and we're super pumped to hear more as people get it over the next couple of months. And so yeah, so we really, really wanted to start pumping some new material into it, new modes. We've had a whole bunch of ideas in the last 2 years of how to make this experience more exciting. But we wanted to make it the most streamlined, simple experience possible, because to play it now, it already requires you finding a place that's 10 to 10. So it requires you to do so much already that to also compile like a whole bunch of options in the game, we didn't want to freak people out. So we wanted the game to be as streamlined, as simple as possible, so that next year we can get complicated and crazy.
I got to say, like, the moment you try it and you put the effort into finding a space and you do it, there is no return. You'll see why everyone's so excited about it. It's something you just to try and just, you know, have some friends around and, you know, pass through the headsets. It's amazing. It really is.
We had a team meet just before, like the day before launch. So all the devs from Space Pirate Arena and our devs from our sister project, Shredders, which is a snowboarding game, we all came to the office and had a good night together playing arena mode together as in a tournament, and it was so much fun. We just had the two people playing and the rest of the team sitting on the sidelines just cheering, and it was one of the most fun experiences I've had in gaming, let alone in VR. Just to watch people play this game, it's already fun, let alone to play it.
It's I think, like, in my opinion, it's one of the best multiplayer VR titles I've played in a long time, because you see a huge focus, especially on Quest, for single player. And when there is something multiplayer, it's usually a standing experience. And here it's really physical. You know, it's a good workout. It's just great to share. And it also shows how badass VR can be. You know, I think this advertised VR at its full capacity, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, VR has changed my life, and like I said, you keep changing the game. You keep pushing it forward. Your innovations
We're super excited to do things that. Yeah, we're super excited to continually make experiences that are fun, and there's still so much to do in VR. Like we have only really started this. It's still very early days. Like you called us before the OG of VR, like that's nonsense. We're still in baby land. This is still very much early days of consumer VR. Like we might be 5 years into it, but it's not until like 2030, 2040 this stuff is going to be crazy. But I'm super excited about the road to get to those days. I'm super excited about the future of VR.
Oh yeah, I love it. That's why I continue. That's why I do what I do with this stuff here too as well. I just want to show it off to people. I want them to get to know the people that are doing it, because they're awesome people. And they have to do a lot of work. Sometimes mistakes come up. It happens, but they always correct it. These guys aren't huge teams, most of them out there. They're not your EAs. They're not your Ubisoft. So these guys can make almost the same magic as these guys are making out here, and I have everything. I have nothing but respect for what you guys do.
Oh, so bless you, Cotton Socks.
Thank you for continually changing the game, buddy. It's been awesome to watch throughout these years.
Thanks.
Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
I'll hand it over to Nathie. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, dude. How are you?
Fantastic.
So, no, it's an honor to be here, you know. It's great. It's awesome.
So what got you started, Nathan? Like, what made you want to start with VR? And, I mean, not only that, you and your brother are doing amazing things within the medical field and everywhere, and classrooms, and that alone is, I mean, that is very heartwarming for me, just to see that stuff there, too. For me, it's changed my life. I mean, honestly, for me, like, I got stuck at home. I couldn't go out. I couldn't do much. So I didn't really have an escape. I was looking at the same place every day. Playing the regular games was fun. You know, for me and myself, I'd been waiting, I don't know, since I was a kid for this to come out. I remember going to Disney a long time ago when my cousin got married, about 15 years ago, when they had the giant visor set there. And it was like Aladdin's magic carpet ride experience.
Oh, yeah.
And it was me and my cousin were sat next to each other. I put on that headset. I'm like, I wonder if I'm going to look to the left, if I'm going to see him sitting right next to me. And I looked to the left, he looked to the right, and my mind was just blown after that. So I just sat there, waited for it to come, and then it got to the point where it changed my life. And, you know, I just want to keep help pushing it forward. And I know you guys are doing the same thing. What got you started? What piqued that interest for you there? Was it a long time interest? Was it just you saw it and loved it right off the bat? Or
I wasn't looking for VR myself necessarily. I was still in school, and one of my friends was really into tech and new gadgets and stuff. He saw, you know, the DK1 pop up, and he said, like, maybe this is something you should try. I'm like, I don't even know what this is and what it's gonna, you know, offer me. So I got curious for sure, because it was like this mysterious box on your head, and there was something inside that people said was egg, but I don't know what it was. I had to, you know, try it. So I did. I remember, you know, trying out the Tuscany demo. It was pretty next level to just, you know, be in a total, as you said, like a different place, like a complete escape. And then I tried some stuff on Oculus Share, some, you know, demos that were playing with scale, where you were certain, like, suddenly really small and something else was big, and, you know, the perspective could change too, or you would be someone else, you know, a different avatar. So at that point, like, wow, this is cool. And because I was in film school, I was like, how can I maybe, you know, show people what this is like? How do you not only, you know, play something in VR and just sit there, but also explain feeling or what's going on? So I started experimenting with that. I always used YouTube like a hobby platform to just upload random stuff that I liked. So I also played video games on that. I made some stop motion videos with Lego and things like that. At that point, I was just, you know, messing around, but I really liked VR, and I thought it was nice. And, you know, along the way, I started to see that VR was, you know, growing to that point where it would become available for consumers, because when I started off with VR, it was just for developers mainly, you know, not for people who were just, you know, wanting to play some games. And then in 2016, it, well, exploded in some way, because you could buy a Rift, right. You could buy a Vive, you could buy a PlayStation VR. And that's where the channel started to, you know, my YouTube channel started to really take off, and the rest is history, I guess.
Yeah, I remember watching you and Frank back in the days, when guys were like, you know, the guys doing everything, that's where I was seeing. And then you know, Brian came in with the Parole too as well, and it was just sit there and watch all you guys grow and show everybody the magic of it there too. True. Watching you from that time till now, for me, the PSVR was my first headset.
Nice.
Didn't really have money to buy it at the time. I had an old Atari 2600 and a Nintendo. Yes, I'm that old. Had those sitting there.
I'm that old.
I really want to keep these things, but I really want that headset.
I even have those consoles with me here in Belgium. I'm very excited about my Atari though.
Fortunately, mine's gone, and it turned into a headset.
Yeah,
but you said you still have yours. That's awesome.
Of course. Yeah, I love my Atari. The games from the Atari are still pretty good. Like, they're hard as hell, but they're still very fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been amazing to watch it grow since then. I mean, I think I was on the Coleco and other stuff, and, yeah, had some good buddies. You'd go over their house, play it over there, and then the Atari came out. I remember I had all the stuff, did a garage sale of all my stuff there. Got enough to buy the Atari, and boom. Yeah, I was a happy. I was like a 6-7-year-old kid at the time when that came out. So,
Jason, you were saying before one of the things that got you into VR. One of the things that got you into VR was the Aladdin experience at Disney. I'm super jealous of that. I have only dreamt of doing that. Like, that was one of the first experiences that Jesse Schell made, who the guy behind his company behind the I Think You Should Die games.
Water Bears for sure. As well,
and Water Bears, and I've always wanted to experience that Disney thing. So could you tell us more about it? What was going into that? Do you recall what you were expecting?
Sure, yeah. I didn't know what to expect. I mean, there was like a bunch of people sitting there waiting. There was that experience, and then downstairs there was like the Hero Cave style one, or it's like the Hero Cave. Was it Hero Cave, or is that the name that they put out? I'm sorry, I'm blanking out. I go through some.
I think it was Disney Quest.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it was? Because yeah, it had bunch of different like mini games like that, and then they had the Aladdin experience. So I tried both, but the Aladdin experience, the one you're asking about there, they kind of had like a seated deal. You sat on like kind of almost like a little like almost like a top of like a wave rider or something like that there, where you would sit on, and you'd hold on to that just so you wouldn't fall off the thing, and then they just start you up. You're flying through, just flying through different areas. I mean, you like doing other action and stuff like that. It was just more of an experience of, you know, seeing what it was like to see it in full scale and go through there. But I mean, I still can't believe that they had that far back.
Well, this is back in the mid 90s, right? This is like 95, 96.
Yes.
Bless.
It's insane. Yeah, like I said, my cousin was getting married. I happened to be out at Disney World or in Florida, and it was there, and I was like, they're like, oh, there's a giant arcade. Wow. I'm like, show me where it is. You know?
Yeah, it was my dream in the 90s to be able to go to the U.S. Like the concept of just flying back for then with me was crazy. But the idea of going to Disneyland to experience this, well, that was my dream. And I had to wait. I really had to wait until the Oculus was available in the early 2000s, 2013, 14. Before I actually could experience anything remotely close to that. But still, it was still so far away because of the amount of engineering that Disney put into that was crazy. So, yeah, I'm super pumped that you got to see that, Jason.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. As a younger guy to experience that too as well, because I had been waiting for it. I remember the arcades were like the old tank games and stuff where you would have the visor, you know, you go pay your bucks or whatever for it. Yeah. You go on the visor, you get like 2 minutes in there, and they're like, hey, bye. And you're like, hey, I want more. Like, give me more of this. I want to play this for like 20 minutes or so. But, you know, of course, they wouldn't let you. And then finally, the headset came out. I was right on. You know, I had the PlayStation. I'm like, all I need is this and this. Okay. Let's right on this stuff and give me, please. I've been waiting 25 years for this thing to come out. But yeah, it was great. You want to talk more about what you do on the medical side of stuff, your bro or anything like that? Or you want to open up for questions for anybody else out here? Whatever you guys want to do here. Because I can talk for you. We can be here for like 12 hours doing this.
I'm down for anything, but
okay.
Yeah. I don't know, like, you know, as I said, like, you know, the, like, VR in general is, like, for most people an escape, and I think it became more of an escape for the last 2 years. I think it really, like, took itself to new levels, you know, where first we were like, you need to try VR because it isn't that reason. Now people got forced almost to try some VR. You know?
Like the only performance that I saw last year was in The Tempest. That's all I saw. I love going to the theater, but last year the only thing that was available was in The Under Presents, The Tempest, the Shakespeare play, and it was one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. Yeah, and amazing. It was only possible because everyone was stuck inside. And so I really will look back on hopefully this stuff it happens in the future, but that it was a time and a place in 2000, maybe it could happen again this year, but 2020 was the year for performance VR in home. And I really, really was super excited that, I don't know if you all had the chance to do The Tempest. It might come back. It was came back twice last year. But wow, maybe. That was so cool.
I didn't get a chance myself, but I've heard great things about it. Like you go in, you basically don't have a voice, right?
A led act through Shakespeare. So you someone who's telling the story, and there's all this stuff happening around you, but you and three other people have a character in the play, and so you don't say anything, but you're supposed to like wave your hands around like a banana man, and it's just really fun because you don't have to do anything. You just have to sort of basically immerse. You really feel like you're. It kind of makes you feel like you're in high school, doing a dumb thing.
where you're like dressed up as a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to get them on the show because I was really interested too, and a lot of the crew wanted to do the show with them, and they haven't responded for some reason. But I really love to talk to them and pick their brains and see how
they work. They're a fantastic team. They're a fantastic team.
Awesome.
Open up to questions, I guess. Go for it. Yeah.
Knocked, are you gonna read them off to us, or I guess yep.
If you guys have questions for Nathy, Chris, or Jason, you know, feel free to ask them now. Anything about VR development, YouTube influencing, any questions you have on that, or based around that.
We'll take them from here from their YouTube as well.
Yeah, I got both up. So we had the first question from Destiny, and this is for Chris. What was the inspiration for Arena Mode for Space Pirate Trainer?
I guess the easy answer to that is Space Pirate Trainer. We loved Room Scale, but the real inspiration came from the tech from Microsoft of Windows Mixed Reality headset, the Inside Out available from Microsoft. This is 2017, I guess. We shipped or about to ship the 1.0 version, like the end of early access version of Space Pirate Trainer. But then this headset came out from Windows Mixed Reality where you could literally just plug it into a laptop and just go for a walk. It blew our minds. Like, we started playing Space Pirate Trainer on a low-spec laptop in an empty warehouse that was totally gross, but it was empty. And we could just keep on walking. We could keep on playing, and it was so much fun that we're like, what if we made this a game? And that was a genesis of late 2017 when we're like, this is probably the most fun experience we'd had. I don't know if you've tried Windows Mixed Reality, but it starts off with this cliff house, they call it. The menu is a cliff, a house on a cliff. And we were just walking around, using our legs to walk around this cliff house. And we didn't have any limit because the warehouse was pretty big. It was about 30 by 30 meters with a lot of dust. But we're just walking around this entire cliff house. You could walk off the edge of the cliff, which was not possible with the teleport. You couldn't do that. But in our game, we could. And it was so overwhelmingly exciting. We're like, we have to make games built on a crazy scale. And that was the genesis of Arena, I guess, was us going, wow, the sun is going to make a headset where you don't need a community backpack. Someday, let's start making a game for that day. And then I would say 6 months later, they announced Santa Cruz became the Quest. And then a year and a half later, they launched the Quest, and we're like, this is a slam dunk. We have to make this game for the Quest. And we did. So that's the story behind Arena in condensing 2 years into 20 seconds.
Very cool. All right. Next question. They said it was to Chris, but they asked, how do you get better at YouTube? But I think that might be a question.
please.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like an empty question.
Chris, please.
I could answer for you. So how do you get better at YouTube?
You've seen how I am doing.
I watch every video that Nathie does. Some of them are terrible, but those are all old ones. So what you should do is only make good videos. So Nathie's only made good videos the last, 5 years? Don't make the videos made in 2012. Make the videos he makes in 2021. I would say find what you love and keep on pushing it, because you have to be very dedicated to do what Nathie does. Nathie is very passionate about this stuff. But wow, you've got to be committed, because making a video is a lot of work. Making a video with expectations of it maybe failing is super hard. So I'm going to pass it over to Nathie, because I think your experience will be well more important than mine.
So in the end, the question was actually directed to you, because this sounds quite legit. you should be a YouTuber too, I guess. Nope. But yeah, no, but right. I mean, the thing is, like, you know, doing something you like is definitely key. Don't look at what everyone else is doing, because then you're just doing the same thing. Just like the way I look at it is, like, I make videos that I would enjoy watching myself do. And the people who are subscribed to my channel are kind of like me. So we understand each other, you know, and those are the videos I make. And that's why, you know, most of the videos are, you know, getting received very well. And it's just nice to think about an idea and be like, oh, this is kind of useful, or this is kind of cool to share, and that everyone else will also appreciate. So yeah, when you're more in, let's say, on the same frequency as your audience, it'll be easier to make content too. And of course, at the start, you don't know what you should be making, but just think about what you want to do. Where do you want to spend your time on? Could be playing a video game, could be creating your own head strap for your headset, or going to a developer to interview them about what the work they're doing. Like, just do something you enjoy and start out with that. And then later down the road, there will be more going on where, yeah, like in my case, it's like sometimes you do something great, you know, it's really fun, but sometimes you also do something that, you know, puts you on the map or is you know, good for the long term of your channel. But for example, like going to your office, recording Space Pirate, it's because I really wanted to, you know, I was like, I want to play this physically with these devs, hear them out on what they're working on, you know, plug them, give them some, you know, give them a spotlight, and also, yeah, understand, like, I was interested in how you guys work, how things are going, stuff like that. So yeah, I think it's great to meet people and just share experiences. Yeah,
I would agree there. Definitely.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, go ahead, Jason. Sorry, I interrupted you there.
Oh no, I wasn't going to say anything. I was looking for the next question.
Well, we got a couple that kind of just passed, but this is for Chris. So this person is named Nacho, and they're trying to work on. They want some advice on working on VR games and for developing computer science. Do you know anything on how they could, any advice for them?
Starting, it has to start with computers. It's a tough thing, but because there's so many different avenues to head down. Like I studied engineering many years ago, robotic engineering, and now I am here in a small team in Belgium making Space Pirate Trainer. How do you start in this industry is entirely up to you. It's mostly comes down to having a passion for solving problems and enjoying putting up with computers. That's primarily how do you get started in any development in computer science is are you okay and comfortable with looking at a computer and problem solving until it's not broken anymore? That's what game making is. There's a bunch of other stuff on top, like, are you able to make an experience fun? Can you start making a card game that's fun? Can you turn a game of building blocks with Lego into an experience that other people might want to play? So building games itself doesn't have a computer science degree. You can start building games right now with paper, pen, blocks. It's entirely conceptual. So that's important. It's a skill that needs to be continually built, but does not require computer understanding at all. However, on the other side, there's computing, which requires you to have an understanding of coding. So you just, I mean, it's pretty easy now. It just picks up loading like Python or even C Sharp online. There's a lot of online resources to start doing this. But that itself doesn't teach you anything about game making. That will teach you about problem solving. It'll teach you about weird like computer nonsense like bug hunting and bug finding. But it's the combination of all that will get you started making games. And on top of that is this VR thing, which now requires you to make games, but in the physical virtual space, like it now requires you to have an understanding of what's a game like, but also in like room scale or in arena scale is what we're currently playing with. What's it like to make a game with movement, with talking, with physical interaction, and that sort of stuff? So there's a lot of stuff to start playing with, but bring it back down to the simple basics. Learn how to make a game. You don't need much more than even a deck of cards. You can make a game right now with a deck of cards that has never been played before. And programming, go like codeacademy.com or there's Udemy.com, which is an online university. You can do some really, like, I think Code Academy is free. You can learn how to do Python, like, now and C Sharp. Those are the easiest ways to get started with programming. So it's not, that answer does not answer how do you start making a VR game. It just, you've got to start building the blocks up slowly.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so I thought you froze for a second. I couldn't see that. Nathan's hand was there for a second. It looked like you froze. I'm like, oh, I thought we were about to lose you. Another question. I'm glad
well,
we didn't lose.
Okay, so this is like a double question, I guess. I think they're okay. This person named Otter wants to know, are there any other games planned? And I believe this another person asked, how far will the support go for Space Pirate Trainer? Is there more to come to it? And will the Quest 1 be like kicked out eventually for support on it? So,
okay, so I think that was three questions in one, right?
It was like two. One was more games, and the other one was support on Space Pirate Trainer. Like, far will it go?
All right, so more games. Yeah, there's plenty more content coming towards Space Pirate Trainer. We have plenty of ideas for more games, but releasing a new game is a lot of work, even if it's just like a small game. We're currently working on this little title called Shredders on Xbox and PC, but we have a lot of ideas for VR, and we're super excited about it. Going forward, I'd say for the next like at least 12 months, our focus will be on making our product Space Pirate Trainer DX as good as possible. We have so many ideas for versus mode. We spent most of last year, like seriously last year, working on versus, which is a Space Pirate Trainer with multiplayer. We cannot wait to add more stuff to that. We've got it all there ready to go. It's just that we wanted to ship the thing that would probably not break first, and it hasn't broken. People are still playing it and loving it. Arena, like, holy moly, do we have ideas. Like, the game that Nathie played in, like, February 2020 is kind of what's being shipped now. But we've added a whole bunch of new stuff. Like the whole networking stuff wasn't in that build. Like, you had to have a server and all this stuff. It was quite complicated to set up. But we've been working really hard on making this experience as crazy immersive as possible. So we have a lot of stuff that we want to ship. We just have to work out how to make it as pack it up into a nice little cube and pass it out. And that's our plan for the next 12 months at least. So yeah, we have a roadmap for Arena. We're not ready to really talk about what's going into each little cube, but soon we will be talking about our next little release. Very soon, like in the next couple of weeks. So we definitely, this year we'll have content this year, and we can't wait to show more of it off really soon. And your last question was about Quest 1, and yeah, of course we support Quest 1. I do a lot of my daily driving in Quest 1. I love my Quest 1. It's nowhere near as powerful as my Quest 2, but it's still important to us. So we definitely shipped Space Pirate Trainer DX with the Quest 1 in mind. So for us, the Quest ecosystem is super important. My sister has a Quest 1. She doesn't have a Quest 2. I make sure that she can also zap my brain in Space Pirate Trainer DX.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, this question's Yeah. We got plenty of questions. People are always asking.
I'm sure none of them are for me. I'm sure they're for these two.
Well, this one can be for all of you. This one was specifically for Nathy, but I'm sure you can all answer this one. This question goes, what do you guys see VR being in the next 10 years? Like, how is it going to advance? So you guys can probably all give your little short answers on that. So.
Over to you, Nathan.
Wow, yeah. This is the one question, right? Like, honestly, I think you know, the full body tracking, eye tracking, mouth tracking and stuff will really, you know, become more, let's say, become available for consumers, you know? Right now it's more for devs to kind of, you know, play around with. Hopefully it will be more social than it already is. Where it's like, you know, what we have seen with Ready Player One, where it's, you could travel from Red Room to VR chat, and from VR chat you travel to Horizon, and, you know, on, and you could just seamlessly travel with your friends from one place to the other. I think that's something that will definitely happen. And yeah, hardware-wise, you know, it will get smaller, it will get better. AR and VR become kind of one in a way. But I don't know. I don't have a time machine. I'm not going 88 miles per hour, but I think it's a pretty, well, good guess, you know?
Yeah.
Jason, what do you think is going to happen with VR?
Oh, I mean, with all the tech that's being worked on right now, you know, we're going to get to the physical depth. We're going to get to a lot of equipment on us. Eventually that will fade and become next to nothing, and it'll just probably be sensors or something. This is what I see. We'll get closer to the oasis that you're talking about, especially in 10 years, because the way it's being pushed right now and the way it's changed even in a matter of, what, 4 or 5 years or so is tremendous.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go anywhere and put your headset on and do it. Just don't go out in the sun with your Quest, because you know what'll happen there with that. Everybody's warned you about that. No, yeah, it's a... but yeah, other than that, the games are going to change. The hardware is going to get more intense. We're going to see probably more realistic looking stuff, because I know that's everybody's biggest gripe on there is they put it on. Oh, it's blurry. I'm like, but you're in the game. You know what I mean? And also, you're trying to explain to them. Just move around, you know, go play a shooter or something. Try it out. Like, just get in. And some people don't get it, but the rest of us that love it, We're here for one. We want to see where this goes. Everybody wants the AAA games. We're getting there, right? We got Ubisoft AAA. Working on stuff. We got other stuff going on.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah.
You guys are changing the game, doing more stuff than those guys are doing now, even, right?
Yeah, I think it's hard to invest in VR because it's always a gamble. We invested Arena because we just wanted to make it. Like, it's like Nathie with his videos, he wanted to make cool, approachable content about VR. We wanted to make experiences that we wanted to play. And to do that at the scale that AAA needs is super, super dumb, because there's a good chance no one's going to like it. There's a good chance no one's going to like Arena. Like, we love it, but to invest several tens of millions of euro into it, or dollars, is crazy. But my anticipation for the future of VR is always based on, like, what happened, like, what was it like 5 years ago? 5 years ago, we just got the Vive. You're required to set up 4 sensors in your room. You needed to have a beefy PC. And now, 5 years later, I'm literally in a basement with nothing but my Quest and a washing machine.
It's pretty next level.
Where will we be in 5 years from now? Like, I really hope that I can just do this experience. But maybe out on the porch, in the pitch blackness. I would like to do this next to a tree. I would like to do this while not feeling awkward next to my family, so that I could see that they're in the room. So that when they walk into me, like, oh, there's my. So what I see happening is that it'll become less and less a experience, solitude experience, and more part of where you are. So I can see that the way that Oculus especially is taking it with the pass-through stuff, that they've been pitching it for the last few months at least, with the Cubism is a game, which is a puzzle game, but you can sort of see the world around you. I can see more experiences embracing that and including the world around you, not to make it like, oh, AR, like Minecraft is on this table, but to make you feel a little less like you've shut off the world when the world is still there. So I can see incorporating more real world elements, like the walls in your house becoming part of the game you're playing, like Arena, for example, like you can play in a weird space instead of it being a 10 by 10 basketball field. It's now you play in your hallway, or now you play in your bedroom, and that sort of stuff being not a question of buttons or setting up around a guardian. You put your headset on and now you're playing a VR title in your living room, because it knows what your living room looks like, because it can see it, understand it. And so I can see a lot of improvement in AI breaking down those walls of making VR super accessible and really social.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, interesting.
How are we doing on time for you? Do we?
We have 3 minutes left, I think.
Woo!
Okay.
Yep. All right. So, we can just speed through these.
I guess we have time for this quick question.
Yeah. It's actually this one's for you. When will we get another VR chat show?
Oh. You will have one coming this week, actually. It will be for Blastdom. And have a little gameplay with the dev in there. A little different this time. So,
cool.
There'll be more coming. Sorry, we just been busy. A lot of the team actually has jobs, goes to school, and everything like that. So coordinating those things can be kind of tough sometimes. But we do our best. We'd love to get one out to you every couple of weeks, but it's pretty tough. It takes a lot of work to go into the stuff here to get these done. It's a lot of coordination between everybody. Mm.
Okay. So we got an extra 11
minutes.
We have
11
minutes
left, so I guess we have time for more questions there.
Good.
Yeah. So I guess I answered the question there and went on. So sorry. We'll take more, so we can get more in here from people.
More coming.
I'm getting quite a bit of these. For Chris, they're wondering if you want to do a collab with Rec Room.
Rec Room. We're always interested. We're here right now. We love Rec Room. Rec Room is a basis for social VR. So we love Rec Room, of course.
You think laser tag could work? Room scale?
Warehouse? Yeah, we will definitely. Well, Rec Room itself requires, is a basis, is a cornerstone of accessibility in VR. Like, you can play Rec Room on an iPad. You can play Rec Room on, like, on your granddad's PC.
On everything, it's basically.
As long as there's a screen and a CPU, it can run on it. While we make games mostly focused on pushing people to explore room scale, I'm sure there's something we could do for Rec Room, of course.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm sure they're happy to hear that right now. Definitely. What we got?
Oh, okay. So this one's for Nathy. It's by The Blonde Arrow. What is your favorite part about YouTube?
My favorite part about YouTube? It definitely meeting people, for sure. It's the best thing ever. Like, I remember just sitting in my little bathroom making videos at my parents' place, not having met anyone, and then you just make videos and more people start to, you know, interact you on Twitter and on YouTube and everything. And then at some point, it's like, oh, wait, there are also events I can go to. So, for example, like my first Connect, I went there. I'm like, wait, so these people that I usually see in VR or see on social media, they actually exist. And you speak to them and they have all kinds of hobbies, they have all kinds of ideas about VR, things like that. It's just so much fun. It's just so much fun to physically see someone, you know, and that's not only developers or but also subscribers. I mean, I've been at places, like random places. Like I was at Silicon Valley at the like Apple Meeting Center, and I was about to buy something there, and someone's like, "Hey, wait, are you not that VR guy?" I'm like, "Yeah." Like, yeah, I love to watch your, like, super random, right? It's like you don't expect it, but those kind of make it super magical and make you realize that you're doing something for actual human beings, right? So most of the stuff I do is virtual. I don't, you know, all the people that are watching out too, like, everyone has their own life. And then you, when you're in the real world, you're like, wow, there is more to it, you know? So yeah, on the YouTube side, you know, meeting people, like hang out with Chris 2 weeks ago, I love that stuff. Like it motivates me to keep going, and it reminds me of why I'm doing this, you know, and also to just, you know, hang out with people and share ideas and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Agree. I mean, that's where we met, right? I think the first time we met was with Frank was doing something. I just popped in his stream because he was in here playing. Yeah. What I think it was like Rec Ryle or something at the time.
Yeah,
and
Rec
and Mike
Ryle,
were there.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, that's then I met you and Mike that day, and then I guess we kind of had the same mindset. Frank, yeah. Frank and I not so much. And then I met you then, and then I remember coming on and you were here,
yeah.
And then we were hanging out
True.
After that, and then here we are. I mean,
but it's because VR is so immersive that it feels like you're building up a memory. You know, it feels like we met. You know, it feels like we know each other, even that it might have only been in the virtual world. So when you then meet someone in real life, it's like there's no awkwardness there because you already know each other, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't truly shook your hand, but I have here, and to me, it feels like it. Because
but the moment I will shake your real hand, you're like, it's no different compared to the Lego hand I gave you in Rec Room.
Right. Yes.
Amen to that. High five.
Yeah.
High five. You're even
there
hanging.
We go.
There we go.
Oh, I blocked someone. Uh-oh.
All right. Well, this is, I guess, more of a fun one. We have a 6-minute warning, or 5 minutes, I think, now.
Okay.
But
Sorry,
real quick, this is by Steel. I think this is the second question. But what games do you hope to come to VR? And what I'm assuming from that question is what game would you like to see as VR?
Well,
I guess this could be to all of you. It's just a fun question, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, phew!
Suggestions.
That's a tough on the spot question right now for that one. Since there's so much stuff out there to check out even right now that I still haven't even seen, so I don't want to say something that I haven't maybe seen yet. But
Nathan, what's your favorite experience right now?
What, in VR?
Yeah.
I think it's Walkabout Mini Golf.
Still?
Yeah.
We haven't played once.
No. And Demio is also amazing. Tabletop.
All right.
It's also great.
Did you play Puzzling Places?
There's another board game coming soon.
Huh? Puzzling Places.
Puzzling Places also. Yeah, like everything that where you have to use your brains is pretty good. You know? It's something else. Something different. But if I could like make a guess or like a wish for a game, I mean, it's right next to me. BioShock. There is a BioShock mod for Half-Life Alyx, if anyone's interested, so that's something you try. But like, you know, actually seeing 2K say like, we believe in VR now, and we think it's mature enough, and we're gonna make an experience of like 4 or 5 hours, that would be great. You know, even if it's not like a full game of like 20 hours, I don't care. If it's like 4-hour experience that is polished, I'm down, yeah.
I mean, they did manage with Borderlands 2, so... Let's keep our fingers crossed on
they
that.
Poured it. I mean, they poured it. Awesome. Fine, I'll take it. I'll take it, you know. If they just make a VR support to it, cool. I'll play it.
Are we looking on time? Do we have time for
I think we got wrap up
okay.
pretty much. Yep.
We're getting the playoff music here, guys. the award's over. thank you all for joining us today. You can reach these guys here. Nathy has his Twitter. Also, check out his TikTok.
Yeah,
a lot of
TikTok.
People haven't been there
please,
yet.
Please
check out his TikTok.
I just started this week. I'm new.
the whole Chris, thing. I'm going to check out your TikTok.
I think I fell.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oops. Sorry. Chris, that is Chris Twitter's handle. So if you want to follow
that
him,
me.
See what they're up to.
Do he's not follow me on TikTok. Stuff.
Beautiful.
I'm not doing
Beautiful
TikTok.
Man. Wait, you're on TikTok too?
Shredders is on TikTok. I am not.
You should.
And, yeah, if you want to follow me, I'm at the Livinator. I'm always around posting up stuff, always covering VR stuff there. So,
he is.
And if you're
check
interested
him
in
out.
The show, I always post up on there too when the shows are happening. So, yeah. And thanks everybody. And thanks, guys, for.
Get out of there. Get out of there.
thanks Enjoy for spending your night with us, guys. Yeah. I appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure.
Sure.
Yeah, same.
I just seen a random head floating there. That's kind of.
Direct room.
We're out of here. I do not know what's coming up next on the channel, so I can promote that for whoever's doing that. But good luck on whatever you're doing for the next.
Have a great con. Have a great con.
Yes. Yes. And stay hydrated.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, stay hydrated. Drink water. Yeah. Have a nice cup of tea. And Jason, mm-hmm. thank you for having us. And Rec on. You're amazing.
Yes. We'll be right back.